Luke chapter 15. It's well known as the parable of the prodigal son. But I wonder if you've ever thought about what that word prodigal means. It can have two meanings. One can be someone who's spent everything. Kind of reminds me of politics. But of course, in the parable here, it fits the younger son, doesn't it? But it can also mean someone who is recklessly extravagant. Well, that certainly fits the younger son, because when he had lots of money, what did he do with it? Put it on term deposit? He was recklessly extravagant, spending it with reckless abandon. What about the oldest son? Does prodigal suit him? Not really. Who's left in the story? Dad. Yeah. What does the father do? When the son leaves, his heart is broken. It could not be anything but that, could it? But Dad doesn't give up. Every day, scanning the horizon, waiting, hoping, praying that his son would return. And that wonderful day, when on the horizon he spots his son, if you think, you know, it's a bit fanciful, if you're a parent and there's a crowd of people, you can always pick your child in a crowd because there's no one like them. He sees him from a long way off and it's actually quite disgusting what he did. Because you know what he did? He ran to meet him. You don't do that if you're a landowner, especially in that culture. But who gives a toss about culture if someone who you thought you'd lost, who you thought might have died, is suddenly back with you? What do? You celebrate. You love with a prodigal love, recklessly, extravagantly loving the one who has broken your heart. Because Dad doesn't need to listen to the son's excuses or explanations, does he? He hugs him. He welcomes him. He calls the servants to get a feast ready so they can celebrate, because his son who was dead is alive. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? We can be so familiar with the story that the wonder escapes us. But wouldn't it be good if earthly mums and dads were like the father in the story? Because there are kids who, break parents' hearts. And I've met parents who've said, well, I'm not going to tell that little so-and-so goes and, you know, they might be waiting a long time. Isn't it better to follow the example here? Because what did Dad do? Went out to him and loved him. And let's look at the other side of the coin. If you're a child and you are estranged in some way from your parents, don't wait. It says in the text, the younger son, and I love this phrase, he came to his senses. He started thinking right. And when that happened, he made the decision to go back home. Because home is where you are loved and you belong. So, whichever side of the coin you might be, note the example from the parable. Take the initiative so that relationships are restored. Because if you don't have right relationships, it doesn't matter what other things you might have in life, they will always simply remain things. Because that's all they can ever be, things. But relationships, well, you get the point, don't you? Now, there's another character in the parable, and I hope that people here are not like this bloke. He's the one who followed all the rules. He stayed home, the older brother. But when he hears the celebration, he gets his knickers in a knot. He doesn't go and celebrate, does he? What's going on? You see, Jesus is telling us that you can be lost if you've left home. You can be lost if you stay at home. You can be lost if you've broken all the rules. You can be lost if you stay home and follow all the rules. Because they're both lost. They're just lost in different places. But you see, because he'd stayed home and followed all the rules, he really thought that what was going on was not fair. I'm sure we've never said that. You see, who was he thinking about? If you think about it, if you're in his shoes and your brother has got his share of the inheritance and he's spent it all that your dad has, who does it belong to when he kicks the bucket? Whose is it? It's yours, as the older brother. So if dad is wasting money on a celebration, whose money is dad wasting? Get the picture? So he's pretty upset by what's happening. It's not fair. And boy, when people think something is not fair, do they carry on? So what does he do? I'm not coming inside. And he doesn't. He stays outside because rules are more important to the older brother than relationships. You can follow all the rules and be mighty lonely. What does dad do in the story? Same thing, doesn't he? He goes out to the older son. Dad takes the initiative. Timothy Keller calls this the parable of the prodigal God, because in the story there's an earthly father, but don't we have a heavenly father who is a prodigal, who is recklessly extravagant, who, think about John 3:16. He gave who? His only begotten son, that whoever believes may not perish but have everlasting life. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? God, the Father, takes the initiative. If you think about it a bit more, we read in Paul's epistles that when we were yet his enemies, dead in sin, blind, deaf, Christ died for us. At every point, he took the initiative. He did not wait for us to find him. He took the initiative and went after us. This prodigal God is recklessly extravagant in what he does for us. And he says that one day we will all be sitting at his table at an eternal feast with great joy and celebration in heaven. And isn't that something to look forward to? Who is telling this story in the first place, by the way? It's not a trick question. Who is telling it? Jesus. Yes. The Lord Jesus is telling the story because Jesus wants you and I to remember this important truth. He's painted in great big letters so that no one can miss it. That God loves sinners. He loves with an everlasting love, it says in Jeremiah. He wants to teach us, to remind us how infinitely willing he is to receive sinners, to forgive completely, immediately, fully, without reservation. That's good news, isn't it? This boundless mercy of our Lord Jesus, this reckless, extravagant love of our Father, may it be so deeply engraved in our minds that it can't but help to bubble up into our consciousness, that we would remember and never forget this reckless, extravagant love of the Father who gave his Son that you and I might be forgiven and adopted into his forever family. But that doesn't stop there, does it? Because you might know some people who are like the younger son, and you might know some people who are like the older son, because people fit into one or the other, don't they? Does that mean that if they're younger sons, you ignore them and don't take the good news we've heard about to them? No, because in the story, can they be saved, younger sons? Yep. Can older sons be saved? So, don't go from here and look at a person and think, oh, that person could never be saved. If other people knew the things they've done, it doesn't matter, does it? Because whether you're a younger son and you've done all the wrong things, or an older son, you've done all the right things, it doesn't matter. We're all lost without the Lord Jesus. And that is something that is good news to be shared. Now, I just want to show you, finish with this wonderful picture that I picked up. There. Isn't that amazing? Someone took that on a bush track. And, I look at that, and that to me just reminds me that God is an awesome God, and it's a little reminder how much he loves this country and its people. And what an awesome privilege it is to share that good news with our fellow Aussies. Thank you.